My friend Sherman Miller. Delegates and alternates. Republicans and my fellow countrymen. There is a grand old person in the grand old party. Next month, he will be 90 years of age. He will be the oldest living former president, except for John Adams. He is a living witness to the profound truth that James Russell Lowell wrote long ago in the impending crisis, when he wrote, "Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne." Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch upon his own. No public official in our time has been so castigated and so vilified because of economic forces which were generated outside of our country and over which he had no control. No man in our time was so drenched with contumely and abuse. Yet no man in this century has so completely devoted his genius, his organization talent, and his heart to the relief of wretchedness, hunger, and misery in the war-torn countries of the world, and especially among the children. I have listened to the school children in Europe sing his praises. I have watched the school children in other countries as they developed their scrapbooks and recorded in prose and poetry their tribute for his help and compassion. I have seen them reverently salute his photograph in all sections of the earth as a mark of gratitude for his organization himself and for the food that was provided. Truly, history has vindicated his judgment. Truly, events have vindicated his efforts. Truly, time has vindicated his patience. And grateful generations have and will continue to pay tribute to his Christian virtue. Today, he stands in the forefront of our party. He is the grand old person of the grand old party. At 80, his devotion, his dedication to Republican principles and tradition, and his unremitting faith in the dignity of the individual and the worth of the individual is unsurpassed. This year, he cannot be with us. It is the first time in 28 years that he has not been able to come and address our national convention. I have been asked to read that message, and I count it an honor and a privilege, therefore, to present a message from President Herbert Clark Hoover, the grand old person of the I give you his message. With each succeeding convention, for 28 years, you have honored me with a request to speak to you. At recent conventions, I have given you assurance that this is my last appearance. But this is really it. I have recently canvassed the many dangers to our republic. With the delicate adjustments which must be made in representative government as occasionally required, and the many objectionable persons overseas, we shall always be in some sort of a crisis. The people too often consider party conventions as merely handshaking political powwows. Quite to the contrary, the purpose of these meetings is the way to meet these crises. And here are the deepest emotions of patriotism and devotion to the country's welfare. I have long thought that we need some better method to spread to the country the spirit of crusade devotion which dominates this room. That method was to substitute a short statement of principles for which our party stands, instead of a platform which requires 8 or 9 columns of newspaper space to explain itself. The people need to know your conclusions on public questions, but their presentation does not require more than 2 columns. Even the Bill of Rights requires no more than 1 column. The purpose of our platform is to warn the American people of the threats to their freedoms as individuals and to the nation, and to assure them that the Republicans will not fail them in the protection of their liberties. The Founding Fathers proclaimed that the rights of men came from their Creator, and to protect them in those rights, they drafted the Constitution. Later, the people expanded and demanded further guarantees, and the Bill of Rights was drafted. The dangers and crises of today call for a renewed declaration of those principles and further assurance that Americans will be guarded in their rights. And thus, we as Republicans hold, first, that the peace of the world is the first obligation of statesmen and governments, and that we as Americans must maintain our defenses at such strength as will deter Moscow and Peking from an attack on us and the free world. Second, that the major world issue today is whether government shall be the servant or the master of men. As Americans, we hold further that the rights guaranteed by the Constitution are the foundation of individual liberty, that the strict division of powers and the primary responsibilities of state and local governments must be maintained, and that centralization of powers in the national government leads to mastery of our lives. Three, that the protection of our freedom requires that budgets be balanced, waste in government be eliminated, and taxes be reduced. Four, that our social and economic system must be based upon private enterprise, regulated to prevent monopoly and unfair competition. That government should not undertake business enterprises except in economic crises or wars, or when public works are greater than the people themselves can undertake. And that the federal government shall divest itself of the thousands of such enterprises it now operates when the emergencies for which they were created are ended. Five. That the businessman and the farmer are entitled to a fair profit and labor to a fair wage. That the teachings of Karl Marx, whether they be communism, socialism, economic materialism, or atheism, be rejected absolutely as leading the state. Seven, that our nation can survive only by binding together the forces of free men, men of religious faith, of loyalty to American traditions, integrity in public office, and who deeply love our country. Finally, we hold that the long record of the Republican Party gives the best assurance that these principles will prevail in the United States, and with the help of God they will. They serve as a challenge to the future. The grand old man, the grand old person of the grand old party is listening tonight to this program and to this convention. What better can we do to lengthen his span of years, better exhilarate the spirit, than to give him an ovation for his contributions to the Republic and to the well-being of mankind? Let him hear you.
March they're playing is the Stanford fight song. And of course, Mr. Hoover was associated with Stanford for many years, still is.